Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it is time for us to open our Bibles this morning. And I just want to mention before we get started, I would very much appreciate your prayers as I am going to be attempting to finish the September newsletter. I'm going to be working on it. It's already started. I'm a good ways into it, but I still have more to finish up. I'm going to be working on it later today. And then also tomorrow morning, hopefully, I'll probably have to get up very early in the morning because we're getting close to the deadline and we need to get that done and out and mailed and posted online. You know, it's kind of amazing because these last few newsletters that we've put out, they've just been disappearing. We print copies and then we have to print more copies and more copies. And I think it was the last issue, one guy liked it so much that he wrote in and said, I need 100 copies. So, I guess that's a good problem to have, but I noticed earlier today, I'm not sure if there's more up there yet, but I noticed the large prints, they're all gone now, and we probably need to put more out, but before long, there will be a whole new issue, so there's so much happening in the world. It's unbelievable, all that is happening right now. We truly do live in perilous times. There's no denying that. I think most people can see that. Even if you're not necessarily a Christian person, you can see that there are things drastically wrong in this world. And a lot of people are getting worn out by that. But I have good news for you. Despite everything that is happening in this world right now, the heat waves, the drought, the wildfires, the flooding, the hurricanes, there's a big one right now down in Louisiana, and when it made landfall this morning, it was almost a Category 5. That's pretty bad. Of course, we know they got nailed by Katrina a while back. I think that was 2005 when they got hit by Katrina. Of course, that was devastating, and this storm is actually more powerful than that one. So we will see what happens down there in the Gulf Coast, but, you know, it's, I'm sure, very frightening for the people down there. And it came up very quickly, too. This storm, it just seemed like it came out of nowhere. It took about 2 days for it to form. And all of a sudden, there it was. And it's enormous. And it's going to cause problems in not only Louisiana, but along the Gulf Coast and further inland as well. It's a powerful storm. But we're seeing a lot of these fearful sights. And, of course, you know, we've been dealing with this pandemic for a long time now. It seems like forever almost, doesn't it? It's getting harder and harder to remember the pre-pandemic world because the world has changed so much. Of course, you know, they say that these vaccines are safe and effective, but, you know, there have been adverse reactions from it in some people that has been observed. And, of course, I believe that we should all have the freedom to determine whether or not we want a medical procedure done to us. And I know there are a lot of people who want to take that freedom away. In fact, Anthony Fauci was complaining about that just recently, saying, I know we have liberty in the United States, but this is an emergency. He's always complaining about liberty. And you see a lot of mandates being handed out all over. And that's stirring up problems. But the fact of the matter is, they're starting to realize that these vaccines are not nearly as effective as they thought they were. For one thing, they start to wear off in about 6 to 8 months. And for the other, they're not nearly as effective against these variants that are coming out. Of course, they could tell us about the Delta variant all the time. Well, you know, the Lambda variant is even worse from Peru. I was looking at some numbers. I thought this was interesting. Looking at the death tolls, and interestingly enough, in the United States, although a lot of people have died, as a percentage, it's a very low amount of the entire country. It was about, of those who got sick, I think it was about 1.7% died, which is sad. I am not downplaying their deaths. But I looked up Peru. And the death rate in Peru was over 9%, getting close to 10%, which happened to be where the Lambda variant originated. So that's already in this country, and if that starts spreading, that's going to cause a serious problem. They say the vaccines are even less effective against the Lambda variant. And now, I saw just this morning, there's another variant out of South Africa that they say is the most mutated version yet. I mean, this thing just keeps mutating and mutating and mutating. They can't keep up. I can't help but wonder if, you know, I strongly believe they made this in a laboratory in China. The evidence seems to point that way. But maybe they're going to lose control of this thing. And it wouldn't surprise me if that happened. They caught in their own devices, as it were, just as the scriptures say. But yes, these are perilous times. And of course, we see right now in this country, inflation is taking off. In fact, I saw a headline the other day. It said that inflation right now is at a 30-year high. And you've probably noticed when you go to the store that things cost a lot more than they used to. Not only do things cost more, but they're simultaneously shrinking the packages of your food as well and hoping you don't notice. But they're doing that, and if you pay attention, you'll notice that the packages get smaller and they weigh less. Sometimes they try to fool you by putting a lot of air in it, you know, if you go buy a big bag of chips and you take that home and it's one-third of the way full. Now, they could have put a lot more in there, but, you know, that's the way they operate. They do whatever they can do to try to save some money. There are a lot of problems. And, of course, there's this thing in Afghanistan which has gone from bad to worse. And this whole thing was so poorly executed. You know, I can agree with the notion that the United States of America shouldn't stay in Afghanistan forever. And we know that the United States was there for 20 years. That was a long, 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 protracted, drawn-out war. But the fact of the matter is, Biden handled it very poorly. It stands to reason that the logical thing to do would be evacuate all of the Americans and the allies, the interpreters and so forth, the Afghan people who helped the United States before you leave. They didn't do that. And then what happens? There's this bombing by ISIS. You know, and last year it seemed like ISIS was gone. Now they're back already and chomping at the bit. They're saying there were, there could be even more attacks. Of course, it's about time for the United States to get out of Afghanistan completely because the Taliban said if they stay past August 31st, that's a red line and there could be repercussions for that. These are very perilous times. And the fact of the matter is, now that you have ISIS, and they did that attack, the United States says, now we have to retaliate against ISIS, and ISIS will retaliate against the retaliation, and you could see more warfare, more fighting, more killing, more deaths. And you get tired of hearing about that. I know I do. It's a shame that this is the world we live in. And you look around at all this trouble in the world and you wonder, what is the root cause of all this? Why is there so much trouble? I'll tell you why. Because of sin. There's so much sin in this world. And of course, we know that the devil started that whole thing. But God is able to preserve his people. He is able to preserve his people. We're going to start in Psalm 12. And you know, last week I talked a little bit about recurring themes you find in the Bible. And there are some recurring themes that you will find. One of the recurring themes you'll find in the Bible is God's ability to preserve his people. In fact, there are many, many psalms about God's preserving power. David, of course, wrote many of the psalms, and he is a man who would be very familiar with the need for preservation. He had a tumultuous life. And when he was a very young man, he went and faced that giant named Goliath, and he defeated Goliath with a slingshot and a stone. But that wasn't all he had. He had another secret weapon. The Lord was with him, and that's what made all the difference. You know, Goliath went out there fully armored, his huge sword in hand, fully protected, except for one place, between the eyes. And that's exactly where that stone hit him, the one place where he was vulnerable. Goliath fell and was destroyed. And David went and used his own sword, Goliath's own sword, on him just to make sure he was dead. I'm sure that as David went through more trouble throughout his life, he looked back on that and remembered how God helped him, how God strengthened him, and how God preserved him. That would be encouraging. That is something that should surely build your faith. You take on a giant and win. And you might have to take on some giants in your life, but the Lord can help you win because he's bigger than the biggest giant in the world. He's bigger than the giant problems of this world. David lived a life of many ups and downs. We know that King Saul didn't like him very much. In fact, King Saul was so filled with jealousy that he sought to take David's life, despite the fact that David had never done anything to harm Saul. In fact, he had been a great friend to Saul. But he had to face the Philistines more than once. He had numerous enemies to battle, and he even had to battle his own children. Yes, he led a life filled with many ups and downs. But you know what? The Lord got him through it. The Lord preserved him. And David understood something very important, that God was able to preserve him. We're going to begin in Psalm chapter 12, starting with verse 1, which tells us, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak." Have you ever looked around in the world, at the world, and it seems like there's no more godly people left? And you look at the way people behave, and the hatred they have for one another, and the hatred they have for the Christian people. There's so much hostility and acrimony and strife in this world. It seems like the godly man ceaseth. It seems like there are hardly any left, but they are out there. They are out there. Nevertheless, David starts out this psalm by simply saying, "Help, Lord." You can never go wrong asking the Lord for help. He's the one who can help you, even when no one else can. "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak." You know, having a double heart is kind of the same thing as being two-faced. And you see that in this world, too, where people will say nice things to your face, and then they'll turn around and criticize you to your back. But just remember, if you're ever in the presence of somebody, and they start talking bad about somebody, really letting them have it, with gossip and so forth, just remember, when you're not around, they're doing the same thing to you. They're talking about you, because that's how people are. And I have no use for that. You should neither. "They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak." Oh, yes, they might flatter, but when you're not around, they're two-faced. Verse 3, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Well, look at that. We see pride mentioned so many times in the Bible, and it's never, ever portrayed as a good thing. Pride is never a good thing in the Word of God. But people love their pride nowadays, don't they? They dedicate a whole month to it, the month of June. I resent them taking the month of June and holding it hostage like that and calling it Pride Month. And nowadays, they even want to involve the children, don't they? Happy Pride Month, they say. Well, no, it's not happy at all. Verse 4, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? People think they can do whatever they want. People think there's no God, especially the young people, this younger generation. They walk around, proud atheists and agnostics, and think, oh, we don't believe in God. I saw a post just yesterday in a Beaver Dam group. There were a bunch of atheists talking, and it's so funny. This guy got on there and said, I'm looking for people who are like-minded in their non-belief of God. But you have to be really, really dense to not see God throughout this creation. He's in everything that he made. The very design of things. You can cut open an apple, you'll see a design. You can look at a rose, you'll see a design. If something has a design, it has a designer. We are not accidents. This is not all the result of one big cosmic accident and a process they call evolution. God made this world with a purpose, and he also made you with a purpose. He designed you. Yes, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, how can these doctors and these professors and these scientists who study the human body and see the inner workings of the human body and the magnificent design of the human body, how can they look at that and think there's no God? It boggles the mind. But people have that attitude. Who is Lord over us? Verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. When the Lord arises, something's about to happen. Yeah. When God arises, you can be sure that something is about to go down. Because he doesn't arise for no reason. He always has a reason for everything that he does. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You know, you see that number 7 so many times in Scripture. Of course, the number 7 signifies perfection and completion. The words of the Lord are pure words. Where do you find the words of the Lord? You find them in this book. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. This book is purified, this book is perfect, and this book is complete. You don't have to add anything to it, and you sure better not take anything away from it. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God is able to preserve his people, even through the storms of this life, even through the hurricanes, even through the wildfires, and all of these other problems, all of this uncertainty, the coronavirus pandemic. He's able to preserve and keep you through all of this. David faced so many trials, but the Lord brought him through. He knew that. He knew that God could preserve him, and God did, because God is faithful. Verse 7 says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God will preserve his people, despite the fact that in verse 8 it tells us the wicked walk on every side. It seems that way sometimes. You know, you don't have to travel very far to find wicked people. Beaver Dam is a small city. It's about 16,000 people here. But there are wicked people in this city. You don't have to travel far to find them. And even little dots on the map, I'm sure you could find wicked people there. You find wicked people all over the place. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And you know what? We live in a world today where vile men are exalted, where vile men are looked up to. They're the trendsetters. They're the heroes. Some of these movie stars and musicians and the billionaires that people try to emulate and be like, these are the vilest of men. And yet they're exalted in the world. God is able to preserve his people. But if you want to be preserved by the Lord, the very first step in the preservation process is repentance. Let's turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Yes, the preservation of God's people is a recurring theme, especially in the Psalms. We couldn't even possibly do all of the Psalms that deal with the topic. But we're going to look at some of them. Psalm 25. Starting with verse 1, and this is also a Psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. You know, if you are distressed, and that happens a lot in this world, a lot of people are distressed right now because it seems like things continually get worse and never get better, and you never know what's going to happen next. But you can lift up your soul to God. You can cry out to him. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. You will face opposition in this world. The more you stand up for God, the more opposition you're going to face as this world goes further and further and further away from the Lord. Just remember something. We are all on a road right now, the destination eternity. Many people are on the broad way, and if you are belong to the Lord, you are on the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. But those who are on the Broadway are going the opposite direction, they are proceeding towards hell. And with each step they take on that Broadway, they're walking further and further away from the Lord. As such, if you're on the straight and narrow, you're going to be contrary to them. We're going a different way. And as such, you will face opposition in this life. But the Lord is able to preserve his people. Verse 3, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You know, we spend a lot of time waiting in this life, commuting to work, stopping at all the red lights, waiting for this, waiting for that, going to our doctor's appointment, sitting in the waiting room for 25 minutes to an hour sometimes. You wait and you wait and you wait. People go from waiting for one thing to waiting for the next, which is why people don't have a lot of patience anymore. But if you're going to wait for anything, the best thing you can do is wait on the Lord, because that's worth it. Unlike the folly of this life and the so many foolish things that people involve themselves in, it is worth the wait to wait on the good things of God. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Wait on the Lord. even if it takes all day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. We see here David regretting his past, and here, really, this is a psalm of repentance. Did you know there are psalms of repentance? That's good. Amen. Repentance is the first step in the preservation process. Repentance is the first step towards an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to repent first before he can get in there and change your life and perfect you and give you his spirit and ultimately give you your inheritance in eternity. It all starts with repentance. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy tender mercy, according to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Yes, he is able to teach sinners, and sinners need to be taught. What can they be taught? They can be taught how to not sin anymore. And that's something we all need to learn if we haven't yet. Verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. God has a special affection for the meek and humble people, whereas the proud he seems to have no use for whatsoever. And the reason for that is if you're proud, you're not going to think you need the Lord. You're not going to think you need to repent. Proud people walk around like they're fine, they're okay, they're good and wonderful. But when you're meek and you're humble, you see your own faults. You know, people can become so obsessed with the faults of other people, but they don't see the beam in their own eye. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. He's asking for God to pardon his iniquity. He's acknowledging that his iniquity was great. I mean, this was David, a man after God's own heart, a man whom God greatly loved, but he was admitting his faults here. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And we know that he made some mistakes. Those are documented in Scripture. We know he did some foolish things at times. But at least he always remembered who to turn to for preservation. And that first step, like I said, is repentance. So this is good that he's acknowledging his sins. Before you can repent, you have to acknowledge your sins. Did you know that? You can't repent if you don't think you have any sins in your life. If you think there's no need to repent, you won't repent. If you don't repent, you won't be preserved. Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. You know, some of these psalms, David actually spoke prophetically. And when he talks about his seed shall inherit the earth, I don't think it's talking about the one we're on right now. I believe it's talking about the next one, because this world is going to burn eventually. Its days are numbered. I think people are starting to feel the pressure of that. The realization is starting to strike home. The United Nations recently said it's code red for humanity because of climate change. They know things are wrong, but they don't know how to fix it. I'll tell you what would fix it, something you're never going to see. But if people on a whole scale, widespread level, would get down on their knees and repent, that would change everything. They say we got to fix climate change. But as Dad used to say, the problem isn't global warming, it's global sinning. And you know what? If you stop and think about it, if climate change is really as bad as they say it is, there's very little that the average Joe could do to stop that, to change it. You could use your reusable bags at the store, maybe. Of course, a lot of stores don't even let you do that anymore because of COVID. You drive around in your electric car. That's not going to save the world. None of those things are going to save the world. Now, this world does have a day of destruction coming. And honestly, the scientists are more doomsdayer. They're more doomsday than a lot of Christians are, even. They act like it's the end, but they don't acknowledge what's happening. They don't acknowledge that God is pouring out his judgment. We're starting to see it happen. I mean, these are not normal times. Amen. It's one thing after another. We go from one problem to the next problem to the next problem. Thankfully, God is able to restore and preserve his people. Verse 14 in Psalm 25, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord enough to repent of your sins. Humble yourself before him, and then you can repent, and then you can be preserved. Verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. This world is full of traps. Did you know that? Pitfalls, snares, all over the place. He is able to deliver you from these traps, from these nets, from these snares. Verse 16, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. When you look around at some of the things happening in this world, you can almost understand how David feels. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way right now. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. That's the root cause of affliction and pain, sins. That's why David here is repenting. Forgive all my sins. He didn't want to leave any of them out. Verse 19. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Some people will hate you for no reason. It happens. It happens a lot. It happens frequently. And that's hard to bear too. When people are mean, nasty, and ornery. And I tell you what, we're seeing more of that in this country right now. It's being divided even further. How could this country be any more divided, you ask? Well, with this whole vaccine situation, it's becoming more and more divided. And a lot of these vaccinated people are blaming all of the unvaccinated people for this whole pandemic. They could have vaccinated everybody and it still wouldn't have stopped the pandemic. Did you know that? It still wouldn't have stopped the variants that are always popping up. In fact, a lot of people who are getting COVID right now have been vaccinated. A lot of them. And they've noticed that trend in Israel. Did you know that Israel is the most vaccinated country in the world, or one of them at least? They had an early vaccination program. And yet they're still having terrible outbreaks of COVID there. But there's this hostility where people like to blame the unvaccinated and say, oh, they're so stupid and they're killing people because they're not getting the vaccines. And they're mean and they're ornery and they don't want you going into their businesses anymore. They don't want you going to their restaurants. You can't go to their movie theaters. You can't, I mean, there aren't a lot of movies worth seeing anyway, but You can't go to sporting events, you know, public places. You can't go anywhere in some locations. That's especially true in New York and in California. They're starting to do that as well. And it's true in Europe, too. Yes, there's a line. And it's a new segregation. We're seeing this happen. And there's a lot of hostility in the world right now. Verse 20, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. God is able to give you integrity, and he's able to give you uprightness, and he's able to preserve you. But before any of that can happen, you have to repent. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. We're going to turn now to Psalm 41. This is another Psalm of David, and David was a man who was accustomed to contending with his enemies. He was accustomed to contending with people who hated him, sometimes and most of the time without any cause whatsoever. Saul certainly had no reason to hate David. I guess I can kind of understand why the Philistines might have hated him, because he kept beating them in battle. So they might hate him for that reason. But even his own children rose up against him. It was a difficult life. It was not a peaceful life. By the way, did you know that's why God did not allow David to build a temple? Because he was a man of war. He wanted to, but God wouldn't let him build a temple for the Lord. Instead, that fell to his son, Solomon. Psalm 41, another psalm of David. Verse 1 tells us, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Praise God. Are we in a time of trouble right now? Yes. Is he able to deliver you right now? Yes. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He's able to keep you alive, even when no one else can. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Praise God. You don't have to fall into the hands of your enemies. God is able to preserve you. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Even when you're in your bed, he is able to preserve and strengthen you. He's able to heal you. When you feel like you're languishing, when you feel like you're sick, when you feel like you can't get up, when you feel like you can't move, he's able to heal you and preserve you even in those times of trouble. Verse 4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. We see again, he's acknowledging his sins. David knew that he was a sinner. But at least he had the good sense to repent. Verse 5, mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? Isn't that awful? But that's how cruel some people are. They dislike other people so much that they look at those other people and say, oh, I wish he would just die. When's he going to die? When will he perish? And when people suffer, when they're in pain, when they're in sickness, sometimes people are even so vile and wretched that they'll even laugh and mock those people, even when they're hurting. Verse 6, and if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. You know, people might read these verses and think maybe David was just being paranoid. He wasn't. This was all true. There were people out there constantly trying to plot the downfall of David. They wanted to destroy him. The devil wanted to destroy him. But none of his enemies were able to succeed because God had his hand upon him and his preserving power was upon David. Verse 8, an evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Isn't that terrible? That they would say those things. Oh, he's sick. He's not going to get better. He shall rise up no more. Verse 9, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Sometimes you might have people you thought were friends and they turn around and they stab you in the back. David knew that as well. In fact, like I mentioned before, even members of his own family turned against him. Verse 10, but thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. You know who will never betray you? You know who will never forsake you? The Lord. Verse 11, by this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. Yes, he is able to preserve. He did it for David. If he can do it for David, he can do it for you. Let's look at Psalm 31 now. Psalm 31. Praise the Lord. Psalm 31. This is another Psalm of David. Verse 1 tells us, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. You can never go wrong trusting the Lord. People often prove themselves to not be trustworthy, and they will often let you down in this corrupt world we live in. But God will never let you down. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ is our rock. We build our life upon him. He is our foundation. The storms of this life are going to come. They come for everyone. Whether you belong to the Lord or not, you're going to face trouble in this world. The waves are going to come crashing. But if you're built on the rock, if you're built on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be preserved. You will be stable. You will be saved. Verse 3, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. He used this terminology quite often, didn't he? He was often referring to a net. Of course, we live in a world today where the whole world is being gathered into a net, isn't it? In fact, they're shooting up satellites into space now. Perhaps you've seen them. People look up at the sky sometimes and they wonder, what are all those lights up there? They appear to be in a string. Those can't be stars. No, those are satellites. New satellites. And the purpose of those satellites is to beam the internet to the entire world. So that no matter where you are, you can be online. And there's a reason for that. Did you know it's one of the goals of the United Nations? One of their goals in their 2030 agenda is to make sure everyone is online. Why is that? Because people need to be online to be plugged into the beast infrastructure. That's the mechanism upon which the New World Order would function and work. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go online, because it is possible to use that technology for good. Dad used to refer to it as invading the devil's territory. And right now, we're broadcasting this service online to people all over this country and who knows where else, other places around the world. We're thankful to have all of you with us. If the technology exists anyway, we might as well do something good with it. Because the fact of the matter is, man has this tendency to take every invention there is and use it for sin. But we can do something good with it. Nevertheless, they want to ensnare and trap the whole world. It is their goal to make sure that every person in this world, even if you live in the far-flung regions of Africa, they want to make sure you are online. You know, I saw, this was years and years and years ago, they were constantly trying to come up with ways to make sure that people, especially children in Africa, can get online, you know, because they have this tendency now to say that internet access is a basic human right. Have you ever heard them say that? It's something they say now. But years and years and years ago, there was this company that came out and they said, well, we've invented these super cheap laptops for kids in Africa so that they can use these and, you know, they can get educated. And they even put a crank on it so that they could turn it and power the laptop with the crank. And that was a long time ago. I don't know what they have now, and I don't know whatever became of that company, but it's a project they've been working on for a long time. Now, they want to beam it down. They've worked on a lot of different things. Several years ago now, they actually admitted they had the technology to beam internet signals through LED light bulbs. They can do that too. They're always working on new projects because they want everyone to be a part of this system. Verse 4, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Isn't that quite a thought? God, looking down from heaven, looking into your life, and considering your troubles. He hears your cries, just as he heard the cries of the Egyptians, of the Israelites in Egypt, who were in bondage. He hears your cries. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of thy enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. What can you do when you're in trouble? Well, call out on the Lord. Ask him to have mercy on you. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Have you ever been so sorrowful that you literally felt sick to your stomach? That's what David was feeling here. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. Again, he's acknowledging his sins. He knew that there was the root cause of all of his problems. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. There were places he would go, and there at times it just felt like nobody liked him. Not his neighbors, not his acquaintances, not his family. Everybody was looking and waiting for his demise. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors. Notice, he was more reproached by his own neighbors than by his enemies. because it says, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Have you ever felt broken? Well, there is one who is able to put you back together again. You don't have to be a Humpty Dumpty. Yeah. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Yeah. That doesn't have to be you. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. God can put you back together the right way. If you're broken, he's able to pick up the pieces and make a new creature out of you, a new vessel out of you, a vessel fit for the Holy Ghost. You know, those old, unpurified vessels aren't capable of housing the Holy Ghost. You need to become a new vessel. But if you fall on the rock, Christ Jesus, he's able to pick up those pieces and put you back together the right way. Verse 13, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. That's terrible, isn't it? But this is something that David faced throughout his life. He had many things, many obstacles to overcome, many people to overcome. Verse 14, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Oh, yes, for God to shine his face upon you. That's the light we all need to see. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Let him shine his face upon you. Verse 17, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. And you know what? They will be. A time is coming when all of the wicked will be ashamed. They're going to be filled with regret and sorrow. When people find themselves in hell, they're going to think about all the things they ever did in their life, and they're going to realize it wasn't worth it. Verse 17, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Look, there are going to be people in this world who will do everything they can and everything they can to make your life miserable. And as I'm saying this, you probably have a few people that pop into your mind. But God is good. Great is thy goodness. He's able to deliver you from anything that man would devise against you. And he's able to preserve you throughout it all. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. You know, you can go to the Lord in prayer right now. He can lift you up into heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and he can take you to that secret place, that pavilion of God, that refuge from the storm, that refuge from the strife, that refuge from all that is evil and wicked in this world. Verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Yes, he hears your cries. He hears them all. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. If you are a saint of God, and the fact of the matter is, if you're not a saint now, you're never going to be one after you leave this world. It's not something you become after you depart, like the Catholics think. A saint is a person of God, a child of God. Those who are serving the Lord right now. If you're a saint in this world, you'll always be a saint. But if you're not a saint in this world right now, you're not going to be one later. We need to understand how that works. But he preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. What does that mean? Those who are proud, those who are arrogant, those who are sinful and wicked, they're going to get what's coming to them. Sometimes it might not seem like it. It may seem like they have everything going for them and they live perfect lives with no problems whatsoever. Well, looks can be deceiving. You know, these people who have billions upon billions upon billions of dollars, think of how stressful that is. Because you have to figure out what to do with all that money. You can't just put it in a bank. You have to figure out what to do with it, and then you have to deal with the fact that people are always trying to take it away from you. That's a lot of stress, isn't it? And then you have to worry about the stock market rising and falling. Have to figure out how to do all this. That's why they have these people they call wealth managers. Wealth managers. You know, it's kind of funny, years and years and years ago, when I was buying my house, I had saved up my money for quite a long time, and I was saving up for a down payment, you know, so I had saved up $14,000. It had been in a savings account, and then I moved it into my main checking account over at BMO Harris because we were getting ready to close on the house, so I needed to move it to an account where I could use it. And all of a sudden, I started getting calls from BMO Harris Bank, and they said, "Would you like to speak to one of our wealth advisors?" But you know what? After I bought the house and that money was gone, I never called again. Anyway, it may look like people have a lot, but there are miseries in this world for the rich as well as the poor. The storms of this life come to everyone. And those who are wicked, those who are proud, they are going to get what's coming to them. They're not unstoppable, nor are they invincible, and they're not going to escape to outer space. There's a reason these billionaires keep working on space exploration, you know. And recently they've started shooting themselves up into space a little bit. They go right up and come right back down. And they're so proud of it, but you got to be thinking there's something else going on in their minds. Like, maybe we need to make a run for it. That's not going to work. Verse 24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Do you hope in the Lord today? Are you hoping in him right now? Because it says, "All ye that hope in the Lord can be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart." And remember, the Lord preserveth the faithful. We know that David went through a lot. He faced a lot of battles. He had a lot of enemies. God preserved him throughout it all. And there was another man who faced a lot of enemies and trouble in this world. A man named the Apostle Paul. God was able to preserve him as well. There were certainly many people who would have loved to see the Apostle Paul killed. In fact, they schemed to do it. They came up with plots. They devised plans to take his life, and they never could until it was finally time for him to go. But let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. all that Paul experienced, he realized something very important. It is God who is able to preserve us throughout all that we must endure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to start with verse 14. First Thessalonians 5:14 tells us, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men." And of course, this verse instructs that if anybody's unruly, we have to exhort them. So I'm just going to exhort everybody to not be unruly. Thankfully, that's not generally a problem here in this church. I can't say that's always been true. We have had some unruliness in the past. But things have been nice lately, and I very much appreciate that. Nevertheless, if anyone does become unruly, we're going to have to exhort. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Well, that can be a tall order, because there are a lot of people out there who are going to test your patience every chance they get. Some people are going to see how far they can push you. But it says, "Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Don't worry about getting even. Don't worry about getting revenge. God will take care of it. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." He'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Don't even bother thinking about it. It says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore." Well, that can feel like something that's hard to do sometimes in this world that we live in, so filled with trouble, but it does say to rejoice evermore. And even when there's pain and sorrow and trouble all around you, you can still rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray without ceasing. If you pray without ceasing, you'll have a cause to rejoice evermore. Because when you pray, you have that direct connection with heaven, with the throne of God in heaven. Pray without ceasing. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I'm thankful for all that God has done for us. I'm thankful for the miracles that he has performed for us, for this church. This church was born of miracles. God has done so much, and he has sustained us since 1974, we're still here. And as long as the Lord allows, we don't plan to go anywhere, because this is where we're meant to be. We are so thankful for all that he has done. Verse 19, "Quench not the Spirit." Oh, you don't want to do that, because when the Spirit moves, it's a wonderful thing. "Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings." You know, there are a lot of false prophets in the world, and a lot of false prophesying, and a lot of foolishness. But don't despise the real thing. Verse 21, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Prove all things. How do you do that? This book is how we measure all things. If somebody gets up and they speak and they preach or they teach or whatever the case may be, whatever they say better line up with this book. If it doesn't, then there's a problem there. And any prophets who get up, what they say better line up with this book. "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." And there's a lot of evil in the world. Well, abstain from even the appearance of it. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you do these things, he's able to preserve you. What should I do to be preserved? Well, there's a whole list right here. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If you do those things, God will preserve you. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, it got to be close to the point in time when Paul was about to leave the world, and he knew he was going to be leaving. God revealed that to him. He knew that his time on this earth was short. But he looked back on his life and he saw all of the ways and all of the times that God preserved him. And he knew that even after he left this world, God was going to preserve him even after that. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And quick there just means those who are alive. He's the judge of all. Jesus Christ is the judge of all. He's going to judge those who are resurrected from the grave and those who are alive and remain when he comes back. All will be judged, both the saints and the sinners. All will be judged by Jesus Christ. He shall judge the quick and the dead. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. People don't really like being reproved. They don't like being rebuked, and they don't really like being exhorted. But Paul here is instructing Timothy to do all these things. And he further tells them, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Did you know there are some churches out there that say, well, we don't do doctrine here. Well, you need doctrine. If you don't have doctrine, specifically the biblical doctrine, then your church is worthless. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I think we're seeing that happen right now. People want to go to church and hear the fluff. Nothing but the fluff. They all want the fluff. There's a reason why Joel Osteen is so popular, and I don't really consider him a preacher anyway. He's more of a motivational speaker. I recall seeing one of his programs once, and he never opened his Bible. He never opened it once. And I've read that he carefully crafts each message so they're exactly 17 minutes long. Got to be 17 minutes exactly. And people love that. They have itching ears. They want to hear pleasant things. They want to hear that everything's great, that they're okay, and nobody wants to hear about repentance. Nobody wants to hear that hell is real. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. Some people do, those who love the Lord. But otherwise, people don't want to hear those things. But there are a lot of teachers out there. You can find teachers all over the place. You can find self-professing prophets who claim to have revelations from the Lord. Some of these prophecies are totally and completely useless, though. You could read the entire Old Testament. You never hear a prophet of God going up to somebody, laying hands on somebody and saying, thus saith the Lord, you're going to go out to the creek and you're going to mine gold. And yet, you have people nowadays who want to hear those things. And they go around asking, do you have a word for me? Listen, if God has a word for you, he'll give it. You don't have to go and ask for it. You can't just drum up a word from the Lord. Some people do that, though. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. If there's anyone who knew that Timothy was going to have to endure afflictions, it was the apostle Paul, because Paul endured so many things. But he looked back on his life, he reflected on all that had happened, how the Lord had miraculously saved him from all of the false doctrine of that Judaism he had been so involved with. He had been a Pharisee. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a miracle? That God took a Pharisee named Saul of Tarsus and turned him into the Apostle Paul. But he looked back on his life. He reflected on it. He knew that his time was coming to an end in this world. But in verse 6 he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Isn't that wonderful that he was able to look back on his life and say this? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. He didn't give up. He never stopped. He kept going throughout all the pain, all of the affliction. You might ask, well, what exactly did the Apostle Paul have to endure? Well, he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He went through a lot, but in the end, he looked back at how God had preserved his life. And he's able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. God was able to preserve the Apostle Paul. He's able to preserve you as well. And at the end of it all, if you love his appearing, if you belong to him, what he has waiting for you is a crown of righteousness and an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And I'm sure the reason he's asking Timothy to do his diligence to come shortly is because he knew he didn't have much time left. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. He recognized some of these names. Luke, of course, was a beloved physician. He wrote the book of Luke and also the book of Acts. And Mark would be John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark, the gospel according to Mark. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. You know, Paul, he was very much human. In fact, he was so human, in fact, that he forgot to grab his jacket. on his way out from, as he was leaving Troas and the household of Carpus. So he's asking Timothy to please bring his cloak. But not only his cloak, but also the books. Not only the books, but especially the parchments. He wanted that scripture, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom he be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. God preserved him through so much, but he knew, he understood that the preservation didn't stop there. He knew that God was able to take him through to the other side. He knew that this world was not his final destination. He knew that that death he was about to endure was not going to be permanent. In fact, he was about to go through a door to eternity. Verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He knew that God would preserve him, and that is the ultimate preservation. Heaven. That's what we all have waiting for us if we follow through, if we repent of our sins, if we put our trust in him, if we obey his commandments. He will preserve his people, just as he preserved David and just as he preserved the Apostle Paul. In fact, Psalm 145, verse 20 tells us, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked will he destroy. And Psalm 97, verse 10 tells us, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And that's important. He's able to preserve your very soul. Praise God. Let's close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy preserving power. We thank thee, Lord, for all that thou hast done, and we thank thee for thy promises. We thank thee that we can rely on thee and look to thee even in times of trouble. For we know we live in a world filled with trouble right now, but we know that thou art able to deliver and preserve thy people. Help us, O God, to look to thee in faith, to reach out to thee in faith, and to trust thee completely, walking with thee always, not turning to the left or to the right, but staying on that straight and narrow way that leadeth to eternal life. Bless thy people, those who are here in this building, those who are listening online, and we ask, Lord, that thou would be merciful to those who are enduring this terrible hurricane at this present time. We ask, Lord, that thou would preserve thy people who are in the midst of this dire storm and all the forthcoming storms as well. Preserve and watch over thy people, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're going to open our chorus books, and we're going to turn to number 139 and sing Unto Thee, O Lord. 139.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Shame that you unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord? Do I lift up my soul, O my God? I trust in
dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.